Thank you very much, Amanda. Thank you for coming tonight. I just finished Black Bloc a couple of days ago, and I think the thing that struck me most about it really was the voice. And when I came to the end, and I'll have that moment when you digest a read like that, I think the thing that I thought of, that I thought you pull off in such a skillful way, was the movement of this girl from a teenager, but almost feels a little bit younger, maybe because of the era that you're writing about and the environment that she lives in, to the point of this, towards the end, I won't give the plot away, where she's, you know, she's turned into a woman and she's had these experiences. And without, there doesn't feel like there was any major shift, but it just like a very smooth maturity, not just in her experiences, but in the voice that you write her in, and as you see, it's first person. Did that take a lot of work to hone to say, actually, she at this point she needs to be a little bit more mature, I need to step it up a gear here? Or was it, did it flow naturally because of the point in her life that you were writing about?
I think, well, her voice came really quite easily initially. So I think the first few pages were very much like they are here. So Celia's young voice came, really quite effortlessly, which was wonderful. But I think in an earlier version of this, I had her doing things that actually didn't fit her character, which I only came to recognise after I'd written it through once. So it did take some, some writers talk about the character has its own life, or it does its own thing, or it'll speak to you. And that always annoyed me when I heard people saying that. That just sounds nuts to me, you know. But in truth, there was in the original draft of this, that's exactly what happened. I kind of forced a plot onto the character who, as a young voice, came easily. And then I had to, at a certain point, kind of sit and be quite patient and think about, actually where she wanted to go. And I hated giving into that, but it was true, and it did work that way. So I think when that happened, then that process allowed her to mature, and she did kind of do her own thing in that way. So I'm glad that it felt effortless.
And so I think essentially what you're saying is Celia started to say, I'm going to do that,
yeah,
Amanda.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
make
yeah.
me do this,
yeah.
don't make me do that.
Yeah.
And I think that actually, now you explain it that way, I can begin to see how she starts to take control of it as the novel.
Yeah.
You know, she's very much pushed around in the first
part
of the novel.
She's quite passive, yeah.
Yeah, and as the novel moves on, she starts to take more and more action and make her own decisions.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how that parallels the experience of writing the novel as well.
Absolutely.
Any questions from the audience right now? One of the
were you in England when you wrote it, or did you write it in Trinidad?
Yeah, I started it in France. I wrote most of it in. I wrote a big chunk of it in London, and then I moved down to London and wrote the rest there. But in between, went back to Trinidad. So
because I haven't read it yet, but it seems to me to be so rich in the texture of the place that I was imagining.
I think sometimes it's easier to, I never thought this at the time, but I think it can be easier to write about a place when you're not in it, because especially the childhood part of this, those were very kind of distinctive experiences that I had as a child, those things that really kind of came back. I was just in Trinidad until last week, and I went driving through Tobago, where it's set, and into Black Rock. And I was just, as I was as a kid, completely captivated. It doesn't matter how many times I go and how many times I see it, it's a land that just does something for me. Whereas Trinidad and England I find quite soothing and calming, but there's something about this country which, on a personal level, just makes me feel very charged with it. So I think, being away from it made made me remember those things really strongly, and I had lots of photographs from my childhood that I had on my board, and you know, paintings and things that, that were really not necessarily to do with the story, but just reminded me of a particular light, or the way that a tree was, you know, the branches were hanging, or something like that. And I think all of that was poured into there.
I think that, I mean, I was reading it, we've had a little bit of sun the last couple of days, but while I was reading it there, it was particularly wet and grey. And I was feeling hot on those times when you were describing, the, you know, the, just being on the road, and thinking, actually, no, this is not good to be on the road, I'm queuing up for the ship from Tobago. And and I think that it is, having had that experience, that's where you're drawing from, and you know how to convey that kind of heat and convey that kind of atmosphere. To go back to the idea of voice, and interestingly, when you were reading just then, using some of the accents, was it an active decision? Because clearly Celia would have had that same accent when she spoke, but you made a decision in writing in first person not to use her dialect to write, but it doesn't feel like a clash. You feel like she is talking about herself. We don't see Amanda talking through Celia, yet you expect her to, you know, she responds in dialect, and everybody around her talks to her in dialect. Was that quite a tricky thing to pull off, or did that convey naturally as well?
I think that was quite, again, it was quite easy initially when the voice was really in my head quite strong. And there is definitely, I think, I mean, hopefully, she does feel like a foreign voice, you know, that's not an English narrator. I think you know that. And what I had to watch really is, as I got more and more kind of comfortable with her, that I didn't let go of that. And I could probably have made it more so towards the end. I think she probably gets a little bit more sort of anglicised or something towards the end, and that's just probably my influence. But hopefully not. Not too much, because it felt natural and comfortable. And I think there are some short stories and things written by people who live away from the Caribbean, and they push this really heavy dialect, and it feels false sometimes. This sort of patois that doesn't ring true for me. It sounds almost like pantomime. So I was really conscious of not trying with it too much.
Yeah, I think that really comes across. I think that's kind of exactly what I felt, was that it was a very natural, both the dialect and the voice of the narrator. Both anybody else got a question?
Just ask about writing about somewhere that's foreign to a large part of the audience. How have you thought about sort of writing the way
one of the things that I did, that, you know, is Celia goes on a kind of journey, so we are seeing things through her eyes for the first time. I mean, all the stuff that takes place at the beginning, you know, where she lives is her home, and she describes it in a way that's familiar to her. But from that point on, she's then in Trinidad, which she's never been to before, so she offers that up really and describes it for the reader. So hopefully the reader will feel not in any way patronised, you know, that, I mean, that if there was anything that I struggled with, that one of the big things was really pinning it into a time, which is set in the 1950s, but there isn't a lot of reference to that in the book. I think there's probably a bit of a timeless feel about it. It feels old-fashioned in a way, but I think her perception of the landscape and seeing it's seen as a kind of hell sometimes. I think hopefully it's done in a way that it isn't, although it is specific, it's not sort of geographic, I don't know, it's not sort of technical or geographical or anything over-labored. It's more about the feeling and the smells and the senses and hopefully.
Yes, having read it, yes, it is. Any other questions?
Did you just write one draft,
I finished it in like 2 weeks and then just...
Straight to the publisher.
Yeah.
And they're like, no,
easy.
No edits.
Yeah, exactly. It was quite a long process, mainly because I stumbled on this thing where I'd written what I thought was my final draft and then realised that it actually, the last third of the book didn't work, so I had to go back. And I really like editing my work, so I never have a problem with spending all morning, you know, taking out commas and all afternoon putting them back in for the last hours. So that was never difficult, doing that stuff. But yeah, I mean, it was probably 3 years writing, and then I got an Arts Council grant, which allowed me to take time off from working. For the first year, I was working actually at the Barbican, and I worked. It was a really stressful job, and so I only ever wrote on a Sunday. So I'd do all my chores on a Saturday, and Sunday was writing day. And then Monday, reading on the tube on the way there, how did I do? And then it was just, I wasn't getting anywhere. So, you know, overall, it was probably about 4.5 years, including that time.
What was the other question? When you finished it, it was almost like, I finished it now and I can put it away, as opposed to now I have to go and try and get it published. Did it feel like that?
I think I felt relieved, and I think that somebody said to me once, you know when something is done. And I think I did know when it was done. And it was different to how I thought it was going to be. So I was relieved and a little bit flat, is the truth. And then the whole excitement of, where you're going to take it, what will happen to it, and that's horrible as well.
Just on a point of interest, something like having an Arts Council grant, does that add a layer of pressure? Because then you've got to think, well, I've got to produce something. Was it a great help, or was
great
it like
help. Great help?
Because I'm
they don't ask for anything.
Really?
Yeah, they didn't ask for anything.
Fantastic.
They didn't
say like, where's your book? How many days a week?
Yeah,
you spend?
I said, well, do you not want to see like my pages when I'm finished? Nothing. And I remember the Arts Council chap, gosh, a bit of a careless person, he even took me out for lunch to help me with my application. I mean, they were so brilliant, I couldn't thank them enough.
So, everybody apply for one. Get a nice lunch at least.
Yeah.
But it does, so it really is exactly what it support, yeah, as opposed support. To your logic. Because I do, somebody that connected with Birkbeck said was doing had a placement and said that there was a bit of an issue about when she hadn't produced within a few months after finishing it.
Yeah.
There was a bit of like, well, where is that work? And so, but it's
it,
that's
I'm
kind
sure
of
it
different.
Varies.
Yeah,
I mean, I was given a council grant for arts council grant. Kind of, it's very similar to an arts council grant, and I think it comes from the film council to develop it into a screenplay. Now they want their draft.
Okay, so that's so, is that your next project?
Yeah.
And how is that? Is that because you visualised it clearly, yeah, and it is a very visual novel, but you didn't visualise it as a film, I guess.
No.
So I mean, are they wanting something neat and more, you know, film?
Yeah, they want to. They want to see that I can do that. You know, that I can visualise and create a script from it, which is hard because it's first person.
Mm.
So we're always in Celia's head. Not be in her head and to be watching her makes it quite different.
And I think in some very broad sense, it's a building roman. I've never pronounced that. But at the same time, it's you need to create a narrative out of that. And those kinds of novels are quite tricky to turn into a film because you don't have a beginning and middle and end. Yeah. They have a trajectory. Yeah,
they do.
So I mean, is that something you're coming up against now to try to create a script out of it?
Yeah.
Sorry, I don't want to. I think there was one more question in the middle area earlier. Somebody?
It's a different question.
Go ahead.
You write short stories as well. How do you oscillate between short stories and novel and film script?
I don't do short stories at the moment. I was writing short stories up until I started this. So I want to go back and do some more, but it was really difficult with short stories because they were published separately, but they weren't published as an anthology, and they came very close. There were three different publishers that almost signed them and then didn't, and I thought the advice that I was given was write a novel. Go write a novel. And I said no. All right then.
Okay, thank you very much, Amanda, for reading for us, and thank you for answering our questions as well. Okay, we'll have a break, 5 or 10 minutes now, get some drinks, and we'll be back to our last two readers. Thank you.